Attempts at sabotage or obstruction by the employees will not be tolerated.
They were very astonished and afraid. We tried to calm them down, and we asked them to continue work as if nothing has happened.
Back in Alexandria, NASA now reveals to the world what the employees of the Suez Canal Company have just discovered. Across Egypt, there is pandemonium.
It was a bombshell, of course, absolute bombshell. We listened to this thing, nobody expected.
People were rejoicing in the street. I celebrated with all Egyptians.
The employees of the newly nationalized company do not join in the celebrations.
I remember that some of them said that you do not realize the impact and the reactions from the West, because the West cannot leave this international waterway in uncapable hands.
In London, Eden is enjoying post-dinner brandies with military and diplomatic top brass at number 10. When news of NASA's actions comes through, he is furious.
We all know this is how fascist governments behave. And we all remember only too well what the cost can be in giving in to fascism.
A former commanding officer of our battalion described it in his usual blunt way to me. He said that the moment you mentioned the name NASA, Eden practically got down and chewed the carpet.
But in the United States, initial reaction is less belligerent. Eisenhower dispatches John Foster Dulles to London to calm Eden down. Dulles carries with him a letter from the president.
The letter said that under no circumstances would an American public opinion or American government support use of force in the Middle East.
But Eden has already made his decision.
The next morning, Eisenhower had a cable from Eden stating explicitly that the government had decided that they were going to get rid of Nasser, that this was the only alternative. That was a firm decision. They weren't going to change it. And that was that.
Essentially, the British and French reaction to the Suez crisis encapsulated two principles about which we have heard quite a lot recently. One was regime change, feeling that Nasser must go. The other was preemptive self-defense.
Eden's justification for this is the belief that Nasser is a Soviet puppet, a direct threat to British interests. Lucky Break's intelligence has told him so. But the intelligence is wrong. In Moscow, Nikita Khrushchev knows nothing of Nasser's plans.
When he nationalized the canal, it was a surprise for the Soviet Union also. He didn't take the permission or anything.
Even once he had made this decision, a few days before the announcement, he didn't tell the Soviets. And he didn't tell them for an obvious reason. He knew what their reaction would be. Moscow would tell him, don't do it. The West saw Moscow as the ginger man in the story, as provoking Nasser to be more and more aggressive. In fact, Moscow was doing the opposite.
Meanwhile, in the newly nationalized canal, the atmosphere is tense. NASA knows that Eden does not expect the Egyptians will be able to run the canal. Critical to its running are the 300 pilots, nearly all European, who guide each ship from one end to the other.
Without these pilots, the traffic will never start. The canal will stop.
We noticed that after the summer leave is over, some did not come back. We also noticed that some are selling their cars, their furniture.
In 14th of September, at 12 o'clock, they declared, we stop work.
7 weeks after nationalization, the British Prime Minister has secretly instructed the pilots to abandon the canal.
It was now an exam in which, if we fail, then also the Suez Canal would be lost.
Egypt's hopes rest on the shoulders of the 26-year-old trainee pilot Ali Nasri, who, with only a fortnight's training, has to take a ship through the canal.
My first vessel was German, and the captain came and said, you are from the new pilots? I said, yes. And this is my first time I have to take a ship alone.
The potential for disaster is huge. The canal is little over 100 meters wide at points. Ali Nasri fears a miscalculation could send his tanker into the banks, blocking the whole canal and proving Eden right.
The feeling of responsibility makes me losing some confidence. I couldn't see the boys. You see the green boys and the red boys. I couldn't see any. But by time, the encouraging of the master, and they start to give orders.
Slowly, his ship moves off down the canal.
My orders, I executed immediately. You keep the vessel in the middle, straight. So I start to feel happy, relaxed. I can see the way the vessel was moving. So I start to feel easy.
Nasri's progress is followed with bated breath on the banks of the canal.
I saw somebody in the road, somebody calling, pilot. Yes, I looked by the glass, I found him, engineer Yunus by himself, the chairman, standing in the road saying, good luck, go ahead.
14 hours later, a ship piloted by an Egyptian has passed successfully through the canal. Once again, there are celebrations in the streets.
It is beyond any imagination that gave the confidence to the Egyptians that they can do what the whole world thought that they cannot.
But in London, Eden is still determined to build a case for intervention. Removing the pilots is only his opening gambit. Now he decides to overwhelm the inexperienced Egyptians by forcing a gigantic fleet of tankers through the canal.